All right, here we go. Another episode of Couldn't Care Less podcast. Thanks for joining. First things first, and I know I said that last time, so let's just repeat what I said last time. Listener count increased, y'all. So thank you. Thanks for sharing it. If you listened to it before and you shared it, if you're new, if you're a newbie and you just joined, thanks for joining. Share this shit, you know, if you get done and you like it, share it, please. I know I ask for, you know, go listen, or rate and review. Sharing it actually does more. So if you're willing to send it to a friend that you think might like it or a complete stranger, just to piss them off, feel free to do that. They might click on it. Who knows? But to the newbies, thank you so much. You know what I think of when I get a new listener? I think of that, I think of Shakira. Shakira, you know? Shakira, either that or the thing from, what is it, Couples Retreat, where he goes, boom, boom, you know? The one guy, the foreign guy that does the yoga, gets up on all the wives' asses, and goes, boom, boom, boom. I think of that when cool shit happens to me. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that word? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't call y'all newbies. Newbie's kind of a condescending word, isn't it? I don't know. It's like I'm already excluding you from the group of vets by calling you a newbie. You know what I'm saying? Even though you can't really be a vet because we're only, this is episode 9, I think. So, not really a vet at this point either, but you're a newbie. Well, come up with something else. Well, Chris D'Elia calls his fans babies, his babies. So I guess I don't really want to call you my babies. One, because, hey, Frank, that's what he already does, and I'm a big fan of his podcast. But also, babies are, like, kind of an annoying, like, I feel like if I call you my babies, then you're just a hassle or something. Like, yeah, oh, it's not like I hate kids or whatever, but I'd rather call you my boobies, you know? I love boobies. Who doesn't love boobies? You're my boobies. Anyway, you're my newbie boobies. You know what I'm saying? And call all my listeners my boobies here on out. So thanks for joining me, boobies. My boobies. You know what, though? My boobies, my boobies are my I keep saying boobies. It's just a hard word to stop saying. My friend said that the first half of the last episode was, in their words, quotations, snooze fest. So that wasn't some nice feedback that I received. I guess I got to fix that shit. But hopefully the first part of this isn't a snooze fest as well. If it is, just wait a little bit. Let me get into a groove. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, my boobies? I like that. I'm going to call y'all my boobies. You know what's the best, dude, though? Oh, I'm not showing right now. Oh, dude, underarm sweat. I'm sweating my ass off. I just changed shirts, though. It's the best, though. Going to work, just soaked in sweat, walking into meetings. Fucking underarm sweats down to the, like, side of my shirt. Oh, that's the best. They know I'm working hard, sitting in my cubicle, at least, you know? You know what's not the best, though? You know what actually sucks? When people put their damn political stickers on the back of their car, you know? No one gives a shit who you're voting for. No one gives a shit who you voted for. And if someone does give a shit, then you two should hang out. Don't try to push your views, your political views on everyone else. You know, you're not changing anyone's mind with your sticker on your car. Not one person's like, Bernie Sanders 2020? Fuck. I guess I'll vote for him then, since it's on that fucking deadbeat of a car that's got three windows only, because they smashed out the other one. But I guess it would be six. There's six total windows. I guess I'm the idiot there. But yeah, dude, just stop. Stop putting the stickers on your car. You know, like, it's like when you're your kid or whatever, the people that have, like, the family stickers, I can maybe see where that came up, where, like, a kid was like, let's get this family sticker for our car so everyone knows that we're a family of six, which also no one gives a fuck about. But still, I can see where that comes in, you know, where you're just like, all right, I'm giving in to the kid. I'll agree. I understand. We'll put the sticker on the car. Political sticker? No. Who? Doesn't matter if I, it's the only thing I focus on in life. I'm not going to put that on my car for everyone to see. And come on, bro. You can't just hang out. You can't ever just hang out and be quiet. Why is that? Obviously, Frank's here again, as you can tell. But maybe that was him. He was saying cut out the fucking stickers too. That shit can stop. I don't care if you're on the right or the left. Just no one gives a shit, though, you know? There's other shit that we care about. The political spectrum right now is all just a media game anyway. So I don't know why everyone gets so frustrated with it, you know? You know, if you have a sticker on the back of your car for what political party you represent or you support, you're the type of person that I will put headphones in around just to not talk to you. Like, I won't have anything on. I'm just going to put them in so you don't talk to me. You know? You're that person. You're the person that, like, the second I know you're coming into the room, my headphones are in my ears. So that way, you automatically assume that I'm doing some other shit or listening to something and I don't want to talk. It's a great play. I use that play all the time. Not necessarily on specific people, but if you guys haven't done that, put your damn headphones in and just sit in silence. You can also hear everyone around you and listen into their conversations and act like you're not, which is huge. Huge play. Also, Janina just got home, so I'm texting her now to let her know I'm doing this. The dog's going to freak out in like 10 seconds because she's going to walk in the door. But yeah, if you put a sticker on your car, I honestly want to treat you just like a child. That child is shit, you know? Like, oh God, you're the worst. Kids are smart though, you know, for the most part. I guess some kids are stupid though. When I was younger, I used to think that my mom didn't poop, and my cousin, I used to think that he didn't wipe his ass when he pooped. He told me that. And I believed it for about 10 years. Yeah. That was unfortunate when I found out that he did. And I was like, dude, you were playing me this whole time. I've been telling everyone you don't wipe your ass. How stinky would that be? Who actually doesn't wipe their ass after they shit? That's the dumbest fucking thing in the world. Why would I ever think that he doesn't wipe his ass? But also, why would I ever think my mom doesn't poop? And I held that for way longer than 10 years. I always thought literally my mom and maybe some other nice ladies out there didn't take shits. Genius. What a smart guy I was when I was a child. Still am. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, my boobies? Boobies. Anyways, I want to go over a Wings game recap because we just went to the Wings game on Thursday and it is now Monday, but we went to the Wings game on Thursday and honestly, I gathered a lot of notes from the Wings game, and just to go over some with you, on the way there, first of all, mullets are coming back. Didn't know that was a thing, but they are. I've now seen multiple people with mullets, and on this day, I saw two different dudes with mullets. On the way there, we're driving on 4th Street, and a guy next to us had a mullet. It was so good, though, you know? He was in a truck. He was in, like, a Ram, of course. Like, I don't think you can wear a mullet and drive a Focus. But he was driving a truck, so I guess it was acceptable because he was driving trucks, you know? But, yeah, he was rocking a mullet, dude, in his Ram 1500. It might have been a 2500. I don't know. But, yeah, then he gets in front of us, and I'm like, this guy's a hard-ass, dude. He's got a dream catcher in the, like, that's the catch. I ruined that. I ruined the end of that, you know? Cuz I do that. Great joke, but yeah, he had a dream catcher in his rear seat, like hanging from the ceiling there, which if you have a mullet, aren't you supposed to be like a hard ass?
You're not supposed to have a dream catcher, which I don't understand what dream catchers do. Like, who developed the concept of that and ran with it? And everyone believed them. They were like, this thing catches bad dreams. Let's buy one. How fucking stupid is that? They made a net that hangs from a hook, and they said, this will catch your bad dreams in it. Once you catch the bad dreams, what the fuck are you supposed to do with them? And also, it doesn't catch bad dreams. So fucking just don't buy them, you know? But also, on the way there, we're driving, there's five of us in the car, and I needed to point out to everyone because no one believes me, but on Fort Street, when you get close to Detroit, going north close to Detroit, there is this disco. It's like a, it's called the Perfect Beat Disco, and which I didn't even know there were clubs that had the word disco in them still, because we're in 2020 now, but Perfect Beat Disco, big, it's not big, it's a small yellow building, and it's attached, it's attached to a cemetery. They're the same building. So, let me just rewind here, and no one knows about this, so if you are from downriver and you're listening, check this out. When you're getting close to 75, I promise you, turn to your right, you'll see, like, a taco stand that's yellow. I don't know what that's called. I think it might also be Perfect Beat Tacos or something. And then in that parking lot is another building that is a disco, which looks like an abandoned building, and also it's a cemetery. So someone needs to figure out the leasing on that building and make some adjustments, because I don't know, unless people are dying in the disco and going straight over to the cemetery, who the fuck wants to have their funeral there? I guess it's not a it's a funeral home. I'm a fucking idiot. It's a funeral home. It's not a cemetery. So they're the exact same building, though. So somewhere inside the building, they most likely connect, which I'm thinking it's more of like it's a front maybe, but how is that not obvious? You know? But yeah, so we get all the way to the hockey game, we get to the Wings game, and these motherfuckers are so bad, dude. They're so bad. But I get it. They're rebuilding. Anyways, they're so bad that you don't give a shit anymore. Getting there on time doesn't matter. Getting there to watch warm-ups doesn't matter. Nothing matters except for let's get a few beers, maybe some food, and we'll get to our seats whenever the fuck we feel like it. So we're doing that. We went to grab some food right when we got there, and we go up to the stand. So because we did that right when we got there, we were basically doing that while everyone was getting to their seats. So everyone already did this stuff. We got there kind of late. Everyone's getting to the seats, getting ready for the game. It's about to start. Right before the game starts, they do the national anthem. So we happen to show up at the spot to grab our drinks and our food right when the national anthem was taking place. Now, this, obviously, when you're sitting in your seat and you're in the whole thing, it's like you're supposed to stand up, take your hat off, you're supposed to do the whole nine yards, and that makes sense, you know, respect, understood, totally. But we're in line getting our drinks, and the lady that's running the cash register, legitimately, the song started, and she stopped mid-sentence what she was saying, and started singing the national anthem. Which, in reality, it definitely caught us all off guard. Now, it was cool for a second. We were like, you know what? Cool, she's paying tribute. Makes sense. She continued, though. And not only continued, but put on a show. She was trying. She had just gotten some singing lessons, whatever it was, don't know. She was trying her ass off. Meanwhile, we're still standing there. Now, at this point, it is so awkward because everyone went silent. We didn't really know what she was doing at first until we overheard the national anthem in the background, like of where the arena was. We're in the concourse. We finally hear it and we're like, oh, she's singing along. So in order to kind of make the situation less awkward, I just sang along with her, honestly. And I think she honestly appreciated it. I took away from her show a little bit, which maybe pissed her off because she was legit trying. But I figure you're stuck in a situation like that, you might as well just sing along. The problem is, though, I don't think she was doing it out of respect. I think it was one of those things where she's got the job, where she's talking to people, going out, having a fun night all night long. And in reality, I think she was just trying to be a troll. I don't know. That might just be the pessimistic side of me talking, but I think that she was just doing it to maybe, like, make it awkward for us, which is why I ultimately wanted to start singing with her to kind of, like, deviate from her troll ways. Because she stopped mid-sentence. Wasn't like, hey, guys, I'm going to sing along to the national anthem. Hope you don't mind. Nope. Didn't. She stopped talking and started singing. It was astonishing. But, you know, props to her. She was going at it. But the Wings are so damn bad that the Little Caesars there, which is obviously most of you that are from here know that the owner of Little Caesars is also the owner of the Red Wings and the Tigers. So you basically are, there's like six different Little Caesars inside of the rink when you go. And the Little Caesars, they're so bad that they have to upcharge beers. They have to upcharge the pizza, everything. The pizza, a full pizza is $16. Usually Little Caesars pizza is $5, but full pizza is $16. Okay, I can see that there's some upcharge. I understand. You know, we're at an event, there's going to be upcharge. But if you're going to upcharge me three times the amount of the cost of the shitty pizza in the first place, at least make it with the same amount of contents. These motherfuckers made the thinnest pizza I've ever eaten. And we didn't order a thin crust pizza. They used like 1/4 the amount of dough that you're supposed to use on a pizza. It was terrible. Great, great story, though. I know. I'm trying. I'm moving on. Here we go. Snooze fest. Nice. Here we go. All right. But later on, so we finally get up to our seats. We're hanging out. There's a ton of people there because a ton of people that we knew there. It was all like an organized thing. And at one point, we're all standing around each other, and we're with Abby and Bill. And Abby and Bill are dating each other, by the way. But we're with Abby and Bill, and Abby was, I don't even recall what she said to Janina, but she was saying something to Janina that she felt very strongly about, and it was, she was getting her opinion across as strongly as she possibly could, and it was something she was basically trying to make sure that you couldn't think otherwise, basically. So Bill comes out with an absolute zinger. And he says, this is quoted, he said, well, yeah, you're definitely right now that you've got someone to justify your stance.
Oh.
Dude. The fact that she didn't come across with a right hand across his face right away blew my mind. But he lived through the millisecond that she had to punch him. So I obviously had to give him a high five because he killed it. It was right away. Said it. So I am psyched for him. I'm like, cool. Bill 1, Abby 0 right now. Sure enough, dude, the night went on and Abby got her revenge. It wasn't on purpose. It was definitely indirect revenge. But she got it. And it was with the help of me, Seymour, and Janina. It was gold. So you know when you kind of get, especially if you're in a relationship, you get stuck in certain situations that just, you don't, it's not like you, like, you're going to die if you continue in that situation, but it's uncomfortable for you, or you don't want to do it, or it's awkward, or whatever it is. Well, Bill isn't super close to all of Abby's friends, and Abby was there with all of her friends. We were just extras. There were extra tickets, so we got those tickets. So Janina, Seymour, and I, and Bill actually all rode in the same car to get there. And when we were about to, we wanted to, we were ready to go. It's game over. Well, they were staying around because someone was actually playing for the Minnesota Wild that everyone in Wyandotte knows. So they were staying around waiting to get pictures with the guy that they knew. So we're ready to leave. It's like 10:30. We got separate cars. We know that we can go, but we also know that just it's a terrible thing to do to your friend to just kind of up and leave. And he was nowhere to be found at the time. He was somewhere with Abby. So we get this idea. Oh, thank you, Frank. I'm so excited that you do that. We get this idea that, hey, you know what? It's actually Janina's idea. Let's go to the car and let's just sit in the car and wait because it's nice and warm in there. We don't really have anyone to talk to out here anyways. We're standing there awkwardly. Let's go out in the car and wait. So I'm right away. I'm ecstatic. I'm like, I'm so happy you came up with that and not me. It's not my fault that we're going out there and we can go chill, listen to music, whatever it is, wait for him to get back. So Seymour, finally, he's hard to talk into doing anything, but we talked him into it. We were like, let's just go. And he's like, all right, all right, all right. So finally, Janina and I say, hey, you know, like, don't you have to go to the bathroom, wink, wink, like, to get away from the group? And he didn't really understand our reference, of course, but then we had to say it to him again, which obviously makes it super obvious that we weren't going to the bathroom all at once, especially because there's two guys and one girl. But whatever, we said it anyways, and he caught on finally and was like, yes, let's go. So the second we decided to go, we turned around. We were like, well, we don't know where they're at. Whatever, we'll text them. We turn around. Bill and Abby are walking back to the giant group of people, and it was that moment. It's like in a movie when you see when like there's a distance between two people in a crowd and they can only see each other and everything else is kind of blurred out and they can just see each other's heads in the big crowd, but they're super separated. That's what it was to us, except we started to turn around to leave and every one of us made direct eye contact with Bill. And we all, at least me, I was loving it. I was cringing down like an asshole and smirking and smiling and like doing this little wave to him. And he could do nothing. He couldn't say anything to us. We were too far away. He couldn't split through the crowd because the crowd was so thick. Abby didn't know that we were standing there. Only he did. He made eye contact and we walked away. We didn't come back to say anything to him. We just walked away, made it seem like we were leaving. The poor guy had the most, it was the saddest look on his face I've ever seen. It was a face of defeat. He knew for a fact at that moment that he was going to spend another hour there. And that sucks. You know? It was the best moment of my life. At least of my recent life. But yeah, and I can't even portray it because most people aren't watching this on video, but his face was defeated. It was so, so sad, but so enjoyable. And eventually he had to call and basically try to figure out like, hey, are you guys leaving? Are you waiting? We ended up leaving him, which he was okay with because he's a good sport. But yeah, she accidentally got him back indirectly because that feeling had to have hurt way worse than his little zing he had earlier, you know? But yeah, great story, dude. That wasn't even a good story, you know? And it sucks because I wrote it down and it was gold to me when I wrote it down. It's just a bad story, you know? There's the snooze fest that they were talking about. But speaking of which, the person that said that it was a snooze fest, I'm actually going to talk about your ass right now, Seymour. Seymour, luckily, hasn't touched Maker's Mark in a couple weeks. Because for those of you who don't know, Seymour had a little accident like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago when we first moved in. When we moved into our first house in Wyandotte, we had a housewarming party. It was about 2 weeks in. 2 weeks we had lived there, just met the neighbors. We had a housewarming party. It happens to be Halloween as well. Everyone wears costumes. Great time, you know, having a grand old time. Well, Seymour, this was his go out night. And I know I've talked about this before, but he doesn't drink that much. He's just not like, and it's okay. I'm not a giant drinker either. But like, if I was to think of anyone that's, you know, probably not a drinker more than me, it'd be him. And he doesn't drink that much. But when he does, he has a ton of fun. So we were all like, hey, man, like, just drink it up. Do your thing. Have some fun. So he did. And not only that, he came in a one-piece, I think it was a panda. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain he came in a one-piece panda suit that night. So his choice of alcohol that night was Maker's Mark. Now, I'm not a big liquor guy. I don't know if that's really a good liquor, bad liquor, whatever it is. All I know is it's his fucking kryptonite. That night, he drank so much Maker's Mark that at one point, decently in the middle of the night where everyone was really at peak enjoyment of the night, they were having a blast. There was probably a couple more hours left of the party. Gonna be a good time. Seymour wanted to come downstairs to hang out with all of us that were in the basement. And I didn't see it, but from what I'm told, he had a little misstep, stepped on his onesie, and tumbled down the stairs. Now, this would be hilarious if everything was okay, but we ended up having to call the ambulance. He was out fucking cold. Out cold, hit his head off the cement on the ground. We had to call the ambulance. He told the freaking paramedic that his birthday was June 28th of ER. So that was rough. So he had to go to the hospital after he said that dumb shit. He was in the hospital for like 18 hours. Brutal. Great way to start our relationship with our neighbors too. Loved it. Anyways, that's just a preliminary story because he got shit for that for like a year and a half, 2 years, up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We went out, and it was the first time since that night that he decided to drink Maker's Mark again. Now, when he said it to us, we were like ecstatic. We were like, hell yeah, dude, good for you, overcoming your fears, good luck. Well, apparently we did not say good luck enough, because later on that night, this motherfucker fell going up the stairs. Yeah, we were downtown Detroit, crawling up a parking garage stairwell to get to the car, and he had drank a little bit too much Maker's Mark, because we didn't see it once again, but all I did was I turned around, and all of a sudden, I hear, turn around, sure enough, Seymour is upside down on the platform in the stairwell. This time he was conscious, thank God, but he did slide the right side of his face down a couple stairs, which was unfortunate because that kind of mark stays for a couple weeks. But moral of the story is, Maker's Mark is not his go-to, hopefully, anymore, because it's cause for some serious injury so far. And Janina, the only reason I thought of this, because Janina said some messed up shit that night, right after he fell down fell going up the stairs, but back down. She said, wow, Seymour, like, I really think we need this to happen again just one more time to make sure that it's like a real thing, like that Maker's Mark is just your kryptonite. Is no other alcohol has done that to him. No other alcohol has come even close to doing something like that. So my question is, does everyone have a kryptonite? Does everyone have that alcohol that just ruins you? Because a lot of people say it's tequila, but I feel like tequila does it to everyone. You know, I'm not a big fan of tequila. Like, I know that I will ruin my night and my next 2 days if I drink tequila. I don't touch it, though. You know, I don't make the mistake of like, oh, this is my first night on tequila since the last super bad accident I had. I don't make that mistake, you know. But clearly he does, so we got to keep an eye on his ordering habits. Also, by the way, speaking of drinking and, you know, partying, Kelsey, this one's a call out to you. Just because you told me to, shouldn't have said your name, but I did. Well, we don't know who Kelsey is. Maybe I'll just crop that out. Maybe I won't. You know what? I won't even bring it up. It's a little bit embarrassing. Kind of mean. But also, I'm going to tell you right now what I was going to say. Chicks are 100% worse than guys when it comes to being sneaky little weasels. Okay? They are. I don't care what anyone says. They are. Yes. Guys have the worst reputation in the world when it comes to screwing over chicks and ruining their lives and breaking their hearts and, you know, having, you know, multiple or, you know, handfuls of notches on their belt when it comes to hooking up. But girls, you guys are worse. And it's strictly because you can do it quietly. No one says a word. You can hook up with as many guys as you want. Not one guy, one, is most likely going to tell anyone but his buddies, and they probably won't believe him. And he's not going to, unless he's a total prick, most likely isn't going to spread bad rumors from his one encounter. If anything, you've got him on the hooks at that point, and he's screwed. You know? You can make him do whatever you want. But you're worse in the sense that you can do whatever you want, tell all your girlfriends about the fucked up shit you did, and no one but them ever finds out. See, guys know not to tell their guy friends, you know, except for their super close guy friends, because they know if they tell anyone outside of that, word's getting around, reputation's ruined, no one else is coming close to you, right? Especially if you're bragging about it to your buddies. Chicks, they go back, not only brag about it, but brag about how they're going to go behind, like if they, especially if they made a connection with someone or some guy made a connection with them, brag about like going behind their back and doing whatever they like with anyone else and still keeping the first guy kind of like in the loop just in case he wants to offer more than what she's currently getting when it comes to a relationship or whatever else. I think it's fucked up. And I think it's not fair. And I think that the playing field is nowhere near leveled. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. But I want to make it known that I know how you are. I know what you're doing. You know? And I don't know why partying made me think of that. But I know what you're doing. Because it's, you know, that's why I know. Because partying makes you at your worst. You're your worst. Like, guys, we have a bad rep because some guys get drunk and they get violent, I guess. Some guys get drunk and sad. No one wants to be around sad shit. Chicks, it's a totally different level with you. You can say the meanest fucking shit in the world to any guy that's standing in front of you when you're wasted. You can say the meanest possible insult you can think of to them. And your excuse that you always get away with is that you were just too fucked up. Now, if a guy did that, let's flip that. And he said something just absurdly rude that was so insulting that no one else could fathom saying it to you, but he was super wasted. He'll never live that down. There'll never be a point where he's forgiven. 100% forgiven. There will always be some lingering idea that he's the worst person in the world. And that's bullshit. You know what also is a hard one to explain? When people, and this actually happened to me the other day. Terrible transition into this. I don't really have anything else to say about the whole chicks suck thing, but sorry. Like, you gotta be outed, and I outed you. You're outed now. But the other day, so I know I've told a few stories about this shuttle into work, but it was actually hilarious. I'm on the shuttle, and we're almost to our building. It's only like a 4-minute drive or so, I'd say. We're almost to the building, and I'm a few seats back, and I couldn't see anything, and probably no one in the back could really see anything, but apparently the driver wasn't paying full attention to the road. And I know this because a guy in the front seat mustered up the confidence after 3 or 4 minutes to finally say something, and it was the most awkward thing I've ever experienced. But I also give him props, and that's why this is hard to explain. But he said to him, he said, what did he say? Oh, he yelled at the driver for having his phone out. He said something along the lines of, can you please put your phone down and pay attention and keep your eyes on the road? And it was just as simple as that. And the driver, I think he realized right away, like, shit, I'm caught. I don't think it was this thing where he was like, he's right. I think it was just more of a, I'm caught, I'm fucked, he's right. So he said, yes, sir, absolutely, I'm sorry about that. Sets his phone down. Now, what I was thinking, of course, I smirked. I was like, I was partially happy that the guy said it, because that's for our safety, way to stand up, way not to have, like, let the bystander effect go into effect. But also, we're like 20 seconds away, dude. And I don't know. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little bit hostile. And when that shit happens, it always makes me smile, because, like, he didn't need to go to that level of hostility, but I could see the emotion, I could hear the emotion in his voice, and I was a little bit also pumped that he had that kind of emotion, because maybe the driver didn't touch his phone for the rest of the day because of how frustrated this man was. And he shouldn't. You shouldn't be driving with your phone out. But also, if you're 20 seconds away from your destination, just let the bystander effect go into play and shut your fucking mouth, you know? There's no reason at 8 in the morning to get so hostile, because now you ruined your day, dude. And now he probably, what sucks even more, he went to his work buddies and probably told them how he was such a badass for being the only one on the bus to say some shit. Which makes me think maybe I'm just upset that I didn't have the nutsack to say something. But also, I didn't see it happening, but I definitely wouldn't have said anything. I'd have been like, well, fuck, hopefully we make it, you know? I don't know, I just get in those little situations where, like, I was internally thinking, man, this guy's a douche for saying that to the driver. But then I also was internally thinking, thank you for saving our life, possibly, you know? That's the type of shit that goes through my head all day. So frustrating. But this fucking episode sucks. Oh, I'm 37 minutes in? Holy shit, dude. Well, I guess I can end it. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have kept talking otherwise, you know? You guys should just keep listening. I'll get better, you know? I'll get better at this, my boobies. I'll get better at this. I'm sweating. Look, about time. Can you see it? There it is. It's not as bad as it was at work. But, yeah, I'll get better. Just keep listening. Okay, my boobies? My boobies? I love my boobies. Also, just one more time, I gotta reiterate it. Don't fucking put political stickers on your car. Okay? We're gonna end it with that. Go to Twitter. Follow at CCLpod on Twitter. You get updates there. Also, Instagram. You can follow on Instagram, Seichi Baby CCL. SeychiBabyCCL. And then also, if you want to watch these on YouTube, you're more than welcome to. You'd have just seen my pit stain if you did. But yeah, keep sharing it. Keep sharing. The listener count flew up this week. I don't know why. Maybe I had some nice boobies out there sharing this, but thank you. Keep sharing it. Rate it. Review it on Apple. And let's hang out some more. Let's keep doing these. You know what I'm saying? All right, I think that's it. I'll let this shit end. I'll talk to you next time.